And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 855. It's a Monday evening. We're here to recap your week 10 fab across the NFBC online championships and main events. Give our thoughts on the ads, the drops, and much, much more. In order to help me do so, as usual, my co-host on the show, you can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Still in the top two in the main event overall, the kid himself, Ben Tidd. How we doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, Bubba. Yeah, in real time, I've gone on the three, but thanks for the shout out. It's been a quiet day for that team, but not a lot of players going yet. But it's fine. I'm not worried at all. It's still good to be up near the top, and just gotta avoid anything catastrophic, really.
Yeah, I had probably one of my worst overall weeks for some of my teams this past week, but just also shows how much can move in time. Like one of my OLACs, my only OLAC that I'm actually winning at the moment. The team that moved into second place over the week and picked up 14 and a half points on one day. That's because he had a ton of, like, so there's still a lot of room to move is where I'm going with that. And we're about a little over a third through the season, but it feels like a lot is unsettled right now. And we'll have to keep grinding the fab as we tend to do. But more importantly, how was your weekend? I heard you saw quite the game on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a busy Memorial Day weekend for me. I ended up going to the Yankee game yesterday on Sunday, which looked like I was going to go into extra innings. And then for those of the listeners that aren't on the East Coast or in the Northeast right now, it's been a pretty horrible Memorial Day weekend, weather-wise, up until today at least. Of course. So that was good. But it was like mid-50s, which I would take that and a little bit of rain over like 90 and humid and me just dying in the stand. So from that stance, it was fine. But then so we thought we were going to get extra innings. And then, of course, bottom of the ninth, Judge at the walk-off homer. So, and even better was that they were looking like they were going to lose because in the top of the ninth, for anyone who wasn't watching, the Rays ended up scoring with two outs. But I forget how the challenge went. The Yankees ended up throwing out Caminero at third. And then during the challenge, they realized that the runner at home didn't score before Caminero was out. So the run came off the board and went to the bottom of the ninth 0-0. So it was a big swing. And then I think Grisham got on, then Judge at the homer. So it was pretty awesome ending to the game.
Yep, that was a heck of a ball game you got to watch there with the fam. And it's always nice when they pull out a win, because I saw a horrible ball game on Friday evening with my daughter. Like one of the worst, I can't even call it professional baseball games of my life. The Giants played well on Saturday and Sunday, so that was good to see. But Friday night, they just seemed disinterested. And I thought I was watching the Bad News Bears or something. It was horrible. But yeah, that's the Giants in a nutshell for you this season. All right, let's get to it. Let's recap some Week 10 fabs. So Ben, as usual, I'll hand it over to you, but we will be referencing the NFBC sites for some ad drop information, but also Ryan's NFBC fab tracker that you can access on the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon if you are a $7 a month member. And it has the breakdown of all the ad drops for the or main ad drops, price range, all kinds of averages and whatnot for the main event and the online championship. But also, Ben, it gives us our weekly and year-to-date total. So what happened in week 10 when it comes to spending?
Yeah, as we kind of expected, just based on the numbers, and I think we said it when we signed off at the end of last week's show, is big drop in spending per team in the OCs and the main events in week 10. Both saw an average spend of fall off of $17 per team. So last week it was $52 in the OC, went to $35 per team this week. Last week it was $62 per main event team, and this week it was $45. And both are pretty in line with 2025's week 10. So I said 35 for the OCs this week. It was 37 last year. 45 for the main this week. It was 46 last year. So back, it's weird how in line we are with historical years. And I think even on the Waxman pod, they were saying that going back to 2022, it's been like $45 or $46 in the main event every year but one in week 10, which is just kind of insane. It's not like people are looking at these. There's no way you can actually react to these numbers. It's just natural how it happens, which is kind of funny. And then, so we looked at the amount spent this week, but then looking at what's left in the balance, we are ahead of spend in both the OC and the main event. So at this time last year, there were $478 per team in the main event. This year at 463, and in the OCs even more. It was 479 through week 10 remaining. We're at 453, so about $25 ahead of pace. And I'm not sure why that would be, but there were a couple of weeks were pretty aggressive in a row. Yeah. Week 5 and 6 in both contests were a little above those averages for the previous 2 years. So I think that's what it was, and it just means that we'll probably see a more. I don't know if it's going to be gradual, but we'll see a decline quicker probably at some point, I think, since we're ahead of spend.
Yeah, it's coming for like week five, week eight were like massive spends on across the fantasy baseball landscape, to your point. It will be interesting to see when the slowdown happens. Like, it slowed down this week just because there really wasn't a whole lot to get excited for, which we'll talk about. There's more taking second chances on guys and whatnot is kind of where I would go with some of the names we'll discuss. But things will continue to change. It was weird. We talked about it in the Discord quite a bit. You could tell it was a holiday weekend, and it dawned on, like I already knew it was, but it dawned on me officially after Fab ran on Sunday evening, looking at how many non-runner-up bids were even thrown out there throughout my leagues. I don't know how your leagues turned out, but even my AC from Vegas, like they were still competitive, but there's a lot of no runner-up bids, and it went like that through most of my leagues. So it felt like TGFBI on every format. I don't know if you felt anything similar to that.
I didn't have a lot of time to really look at the runner-ups, but I definitely had my mains definitely had a lot of moves made in general. So I don't know how deep, to your point, the bid lists were, but definitely there's significant movement, I think. I always wonder how the number of ads per week. So we look at the dollars, but looking at the number of ads per week would also be interesting. I think Todd Whiteson used to cover that when he did his article for FTN. And he's not doing it this year, so that's kind of – I don't know if anyone's covering that, but that's always another good indicator of seeing how active the leagues are.
That's a very interesting point. Maybe I will talk to our research department and
get the intern on that.
See if we can add to that. You know, he's not busy or anything right now. Maybe I'll get to him on Thursday when things lighten up in his schedule. But yes, that would be quite interesting, actually, because, yeah, some of these leagues are still super active. It wasn't a knock on the actual overall amounts of moves. And I remember, like, we were sharing some texts on Sunday as usual, and my waterfalls were long. Like, TLC couldn't even sing about some of them. It was quite the – that was a band from, you know, maybe before your time, Ben, just throwing it out there.
There was a commercial with them, I think, a couple years ago, and I remember seeing that.
Commercial with them, God dang.
Weren't they the elevator one? Was that them?
I think so. That's one of them, yeah. But they sing a song, Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls.
I'm young,
Lisa Bubba. Left Eye Lopez is married to Andre Rison and then burned his house down. It was pretty good stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the 90s. Great times. Great times had by all. All right, enough of that nostalgia and showing how the age gap exists between myself and Ben. Let's talk about...
It's not even that bad, though.
No, it's not. It's not, but at least you and I can, you know, talk real quick. We should have talked about the software. Screw it. Here we go. Have you seen the new Mandalorian movie yet?
No, but I'm dying.
Okay, neither did I. Almost went solo yesterday. I almost said screw it. I was like, finished Fab. I almost took like a break to go see it before I came back to recheck things. But I'm like, yeah, I got other stuff I can do. I did laundry like a responsible adult instead of going and getting popcorn and watching, you know, the Mandalorian and Grogu. So we'll have to recap that some other time. Sorry, people. That's just I have to do that because my other co-host in life doesn't know what real like entertainment value is in any form of cinema or television. So
the Hodor drone never hits with Ryan. It gets me every time.
Yes, I have to. That's the only reason why I bring it up every time now. People might get annoyed with it, but I do it on purpose. All right, let's talk about it. We're going to kick things off with the, like usual, I start with the OC, but we talk about both sides of the spectrum. Dylan Cruz added in 206 online championships. Ben, he was as high as 149 in the OCs, as low as $2. Average of $59, which is, you know, not too shabby. He was added in 20 main events, which means he was already rostered in 40 main events because he's widely rostered now. He went as high as 263 in the main events, as low as 68, average of 130. So we're starting to see the discrepancies with some of these guys in main events and OCs, Ben. So Dylan Cruz, I like Dylan Cruz. I liked him in draft season. I like Dylan Lyle more in draft season, but I like Dylan Cruz. I remember having to drop Dylan Cruz in some leagues. I have Dylan Cruz in some DCs, Ben. Dylan Cruz in his first week up was hitting 208 with a home run and a steal, striking out 24% of the time. What was your thoughts on Dylan Cruz? Because a lot of people are in on him, of course. A lot of money was spent on him. Where were you at on Dylan Cruz?
If he was more widely available in my leagues and if I had more money, I would have been pretty interested in adding Dylan Cruz because he was going around pick 150, I think, in drafts. So that's a pretty significant price for a decent player, at least with decent upside. I know people like to hate on Dylan Cruz, but even I'll include his homer and steal that he had this past week. In 122 games, he has for his career, that is, Cruz has 14 homers and 30 steals in less than a full year. So that's a very good fantasy player. The only thing, though, is his average for his career is 211. You mentioned it was 208 this past week. But he has a career BABIP of 248. And that's something that I was arguing against, I think, coming out of 2024 when he debuted, because I was in on Cruz last year and just kind of burned me a little bit. And I was a little hesitant this year to draft him again, even though I had him kind of ranked around that ADP of 150 I mentioned. So the BABIP's been pretty low for him, and he's a fast guy, so it doesn't really make any sense. The only thing that could really kind of counteract that is he could be like Jacob Marcy, where he hits a lot of fly balls, and that's why Marcy runs a pretty low BABIP as well. But I'm trying to find his fly ball rate. Yeah, Cruz's fly ball rate isn't even that bad. It's 39% right now, with the 50% ground ball rate. So his BABIP should be higher. And even for his career, his fly ball rate's 33%. So Cruz has gotten – he's just been unlucky with his, I think, batted ball luck. And he's so fast. So, but also at the same time, he's had injuries, I think last year in 2025, that contributed to him missing like half the season. He only played 85 games.
Yep.
And this year was more performance-based, why he was sent down, I believe. I don't think he was hurt yet. No. So, especially when you have all these rookies coming up, you don't really know what they're going to do. Cruz is kind of like a rookie almost, because he hasn't really – he like basically played a partial full season across across the last 2 years, I guess. But he has the skills, the speed is nice, and he has power that goes with it too. So it makes sense to me why he went for so high in the main. And OC 60 is fine, but I don't know. Maybe people are checking out a little bit more in the OCs, and that's why people are getting him for cheaper. But I definitely would have preferred Cruz, I think, to the other top position player that we're about to cover next. But there's definitely risk with Cruz. If you have a poor average, you may not want to just risk him continue to be a poor average player. But like I said, the BABIP's been abnormally low for him, and he doesn't hit a lot of fly balls, so I think it should regress up. But we haven't seen it yet. I don't know why, but I think it will.
Yeah, Cruz is a tough one just because, like, the power and speed, you can't really deny. Like, the power is decent. Speed's really good. Like, average has just struggled the last couple of years. All the way back to 2024 since he got his cup of coffee. But he had 258, five homers, seven steals, and 41 games of AAA. You think the Nats want to give him a lot of run. That's why they brought him back up, because, as you mentioned, he got sent down earlier. It wasn't because of injuries. They wanted him to work on stuff. They decided that time to bring him up was now, which makes you feel like, okay, let's see what he's got. Like, it's now or never type thing. And so I get the appeal. There was a lot of potential young outfielders available this week. We'll talk about as the show goes along. And I was more inclined to spend lower on some of them, right or wrong. We shall see. It also helps, Ben, that, you know, we have this guy named Mr. Bolte recently. Kind of doesn't make Dylan Cruz really a necessity at this point in time.
Money went elsewhere. Yep.
Yes, money went elsewhere, and money has already been well spent for now. Like, I think we've already kind of done okay in that regards, no matter what really takes place, yes, the rest of the way. All right, that other player you were mentioning, and we hit him like at the very end of last show, because Colt Emerson was available in just a handful of leagues, so we knew this week would be Colt Emerson week. Then Dylan Cruz kind of trumped that just a little bit, but Colt Emerson was still added in 182 OCs, as high as 201. Someone got him for a dollar, folks. Average bid of $51 for Colt Emerson, so just below the $59 from Dylan Cruz. The 75th percentile, though, for Colt was $67. Remember, I said the max was $201, so there's some outliers, obviously, in that one. Colt Emerson was added in 37 main events, as high as $331, as low as $34, average of $122. It's 75th percentile of $147, so outliers there. I think it was like three or four people were over $300 on Colt, but as a whole, most people were in, like, say, $150 and below in your main events. Colt Emerson was struggle busing it until he had four hits on Sunday. That's why I sent a tweet out going, I really wonder what those bid prices were before he hit four hits on Sunday. Just because I know people would be interested in Colt. We know that for a fact. But the production was so low. He's playing shortstop and third base, so he'll get third base eligibility, Ben. Eventually, Brendan Donovan will return. And when that takes place, decisions will have to be made. And if Colt's not hitting, that might be the decision. So what were your thoughts on Colt Emerson? Like, honestly, I didn't even put bids in because, knock on wood, also, like, I have a ton of shortstop / middle infielders on my teams.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way, Bubba. I didn't really have a need for shortstop where he's currently eligible. I'm looking at my leagues. He was added in the way things look. It looks like someone drafted him in the main and held him because the ads aren't showing up. But yeah,
There was one league where he was added and held. Everything else was either added last week or added this week or something like that.
Yeah, so it looks like I may have been in that main event, which is kind of wild. chances of that happening. But yes, yeah, you mentioned the big Sunday for Emerson, and you gotta love that Sunday tax. Usually it's a pitcher that does that, but in this case we had a big prospect hitter. And I remember just looking at his stats because there's some discussion about who the Mariners should play in the Discord a couple times this, like a week or two ago, and then even earlier in the year. And well, I guess part of the thing is, so his stats weren't that good, but now I'm looking, he was 19 when he went 16, 14 homers and steals in 2025, Emerson. So that's pretty impressive. I know Ryan was saying, as a Mariners fan, he's watching me, he's kind of unsure about how the power is going to play up, but he's only 20, Emerson, but that's part of the equation too. Like, if he's not growing into his body yet and he isn't like mature enough to have major league power or whatever, then that could, I mean, nothing you can hold against him. He's only 20. I mean, it's great that he's called up, but you have to be able to like compete if you're going to be called up. And you mentioned about Donovan. It sounds like he had a pretty crazy injury where he needed injections in two different body parts. It was like a groin abdomen type deal.
Yep.
And you mentioned Bolte. He was kind of like the last nail in the coffin for my big spending in my teams. And I don't know if I even had Emerson in a bid. Like I said, cause I didn't really need middle infield help and I couldn't really go for a big player at this point in the year. So I was kind of just on the sidelines, and from a competitive standpoint, I hope that it doesn't work out because a lot of other people had to spend big on him, and especially in the main event. But I don't know. It could be like a year too soon for him. I don't know if he's going to run a ton because I don't know how the Mariners are doing in terms of running as a team. I think I remember hearing that they weren't really stealing too much. I know Randy is for sure.
Randy is. Naylor's running a little bit. So like they're running. It's just as a team, if you look at their roster, they just don't have a lot of guys that run outside of like J-Rod, Naylor, and Randy.
Yeah, so no, Emerson would be another one, perhaps. But, I don't know. It's if you had it, I don't know if there – well, I guess if you had Story, he was a good ad. Emerson, I'm not sure who else at shortstop, really. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who's been hurt necessarily where an opening would open up. But I don't know. I don't know if he would have been my top prospect ad, I think. If we were starting – like if everyone was available right now, I don't know if I would have – chosen Emerson as my top choice, so that's why I wasn't really interested in him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really good someday. I just think it's early. The dude's so young still, so new to the major league level, obviously, because he's made his debut, but just professional baseball in general. I think there's time for this. He'll be a very interesting discussion point in the offseason, and maybe he gets clicking. You know, it took Connor Griffin about a month or so, and he's actually turned into a player that by the end of the year, I wouldn't be shocked if he's the best rookie of the bunch, like people thought he would be in draft season. He's just taking time because he's young and that's what happens. But I think Emerson's in the same boat, and I just wasn't going to spend a fortune on him, let alone my rosters didn't need him at all. So it's not a slight, I guess, on people that went after him. I'm just cautious on what to expect from Colt Emerson. And I'm also very much not in need of a guy like Colt Emerson. All right. The third most added player in the online championships, relief pitcher Grant Taylor of the Chicago White Sox, picked up 152 online championships, as high as 89, as low as a dollar, average of 27. He was picked up in 26 main events, average of $45, high of 141, low of 3. Grant Taylor has been really, really good this year. Struggled on Sunday in San Francisco, ironically, of all places. But he's been their fireman. He comes in at all different times of the game. He got a save a couple outings ago, which got people fired up, I think, which got the train rolling. But the strikeouts are awesome. The ratios are great. Really good guy, but they're using him all over the game. Like that home run against the Giants was the sixth inning. I think he threw the seventh inning on Monday night. Like he is literally their leverage fireman, and it's going to be all over the board. So if you want like an Ashby type, I guess, for strikeouts and ratios and a potential saver win, Grant Taylor's there. He got four wins also. So like I get it. But and so I had bids in on Grant Taylor. I'm not going to deny that. And they just weren't very high bids. I don't know what your thoughts are on Grant Taylor.
I think there was one league where I was weak at my closer two, where I went into yesterday, Sunday, with Taylor in my very short bid list for a new reliever. But once he entered the fifth inning on Sunday, I took him off my list. And another thing I was commenting on Bubba too is this kind of just shows how much the spending dropped, because he's the third most money Taylor in the OC, but his average was 27. That's extremely low based on what we've been seeing lately. So this is surprising to see him at the top with such a low average price. But just going back to why I wasn't in on Taylor, the fifth inning appearance, and then of course today Sir Anthony went back out for the ninth, got the save relatively cleanly. I think he only allowed one hit, got two strikeouts, and I think the Taylor save was more just about giving Sir Anthony a break, because he had two not so good outings in a row before tonight, or today, the Memorial Day. So I think that's just what it was, and I don't think Taylor is going to be the closer anytime soon. It's something you hear all the time on other pods, that how they paid Sir Anthony closer money and it's a 2-year deal, and he's still relatively, he's kind of getting the job done, but there's so many bad closers, so it's not like a normal year where you'd be like, okay, he's probably gonna lose his job, because everyone's in the same boat, it feels like. So I think Taylor is more of like a $10 and below pitcher right now if you're in a bid form. Nothing in the 27 isn't a lot, but for a pitcher like him, I don't think, even as a spec, I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, no, that I'm with you. I like him as a spec. Just, it was more than anything, the SP landscape was so bad. I'm like, yeah, if I can get him for cheap and just try to get ratios and strikeouts for the week, I'm in. That's where I'm at.
That's more of a 15-team play, though, not an OC.
100%. 100% much more of a 15-team play than an OC. And like, we'll talk more about it, I guess, as the show goes on, when we talk about our ad drops. And the 15's pitching so bad, I am definitely looking at the Taylor types of the world. Ashby's been long gone. Like, those kind of arms that are showing up that are leverage guys, I'm starting to be much more interested in. And usually I don't do that till much later in the season, but here we are. All right, the next most added player in the online championships, Daniel Susak, picked up in 125 OCs, as high as 55, as low as a buck, average of 8. He was picked up in 12 main events, high of 67, low of 3, average of 17. He was dropped once in the main and once in the online championships. I'll let you have the floor first, Ben, because everybody knows my Giants biases around here. But what's your thoughts on the Daniel Susak ad on a week where catchers were necessary for many?
I'm Bubba, but it was a Giants catcher of all things, and you're passing it to me first.
I'm a gentleman and a scholar every once in a blue moon.
Yeah, unfortunately, in the one main where I did have Jesus Rodriguez, who I refer to, I think, as Infant J-Rod in the Discord, J-Rod, because of how little he's playing and producing, I would have liked to have replaced him with Susak if I could, but I believe he had already been added in that main event where I had Rodriguez beforehand. And yeah, so in my leagues, he was added, Susak was added, if he wasn't already rostered last week, week 9. So I couldn't get him this week. But just looking at the lineup tracker for the Giants, he started 3 in a row and 5 of the last 6 games at catcher, which is that's impressive. So he's definitely the main starter there in San Francisco. Pretty good minor league numbers. In AAA, what was it, last year with the A's organization, 18 homers and 7 steals, 275 average, and fewer than 100 games. So that's pretty good for a catcher. It was probably the PCL, but that's what we're working with for his stats. And he's playing all the time. And I definitely was looking to add, in that particular league, a catcher. I was talking to you about which piece of garbage should I have at the first of my list. And if Susak was there, if he was available, I probably would have had him first. So definitely a good add. And even in the OCs, I think it makes sense for him to be near the top of ads, just based on how many catches were lost over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Baldwin, Jeffers, you know, Yainer Diaz a couple of weeks ago, though Goose is gone. The list goes on and on and on. Like, catchers are dropping like flies, which gives the replacement value, which I think we talked about in the offseason, Ben, that this will happen throughout the season. Now, is the replacement value any good right now? Not exactly, but we're still looking to find it. The one thing I'll add with Daniel Susak, because anybody that asked me in the Discord and whatnot, Susak was the top option out of the options available, is what I'll say, is that Susak is, since he came back from the IL, he has played 5 of 6, like you mentioned. He's only hitting 227 over that stretch, striking out 32% of the time. It's just, it felt like it was going to be a Susak infant rod platoon. That has not happened, unfortunately. But as long as the infant is on the roster, I would hold out hope that that's getting, because if Susac continues to struggle at the plate, that might change. But Susac's defense is much better than the infants. So that's kind of a deciding factor as well. All right, the next most added player in the NFBC OCs is Kumar Rocker, picked up in 112 OCs, as high as 52, as low as a dollar average of $12. 25 main events, high of 67, low of 11, average of 29. Kumar Rocker was dropped by many, including myself, in a couple leagues a few weeks back. He had a really good start in Coors after an opener, and then they decided with the two-step this week, screw the opener, and he allowed five innings, allowed four earned runs, two walks, five Ks against the depleted Houston Astros. So we're back, baby. What were your thoughts on these ads? Like, I totally got it. Like, the upside of Kumar Rocker, I still believe, is very, very high. It's just a massive amount of inconsistencies with him.
Yeah, there was one league where I did try to add Kumar, mainly for the two-step. I don't remember which team it was. I don't believe I got him either. But it really came down to the last start where he went 7 2/3, struck out 7. It was the Rockies, but it wasn't Coors, so I guess that offsets it a little bit. But so I pulled up his underlying stats for the last 3 weeks. He has a negative K-minus walk despite that start. Kumar, it's kind of wild when you put it that way. His swing strike is only 6% over the last 3 weeks. Sierra's over 6. His xFIP's 5.56. xERA's over 6. So he's just been awful. It sounds like it wasn't a nightmare start for tonight versus the Astros, I believe is what you said, right? It was the Astros. Then he gets the Royals on Saturday. So if you want strikeouts, maybe he'll pay off. But unless he shows something else Saturday, I think you probably would cut ties with Kumar after this week's over, especially in an OCs. In mains, I don't know. I was bidding for 15, so I was looking for the stream, but I don't know if I would have kept him either in a 15. Unless it turned into a really good two-step week, which it still could potentially, but I don't know. The skills have still been so bad, and I doubt today's start will do anything to improve the numbers I read off just a minute ago. So I think Rocker is just an ad for this week, and that's probably it.
Yeah, OCs, you can drop him again. Totally fine. Main events, it comes down to, like, he's in that Shane Boz, Trevor Rogers, Jack Flaherty bucket. So it depends on how you feel about that. Maybe he's at the bottom of that bucket, but he's in that
little, it's a gross bucket.
Aaron Nola. You just throw this whole crew in there. Might be better for the streaming options of life. And that's where we look at leverage pitchers because of that. All right. The next most added player in the online championships. We're back, baby. Jeff Hoffman of the Toronto Blue Jays, picked up at 106 OCs, as high as 111, as low as a buck, average of 30. 75th percentile was 36. So outlier there for sure. Jeff Hoffman was picked up in 24 main events, high of 87, low of 3, average of 41. Jeff Hoffman has 4 straight appearances without allowing a run. It's been since April 18th, it's been 1 earned run or less for Jeff Hoffman, which is actually really good, if considering we all think he just completely sucks. That's actually really good. He's picked up saves in back-to-back outings. Over the last 2 weeks, Closer Monkey put a tweet out, Ben, that the saves chart for the last 2 weeks, Jeff Hoffman has 2 saves. Louis Varland has 2 saves for the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm not saying Louis Varland's losing his job right now. Louis Varland's really, really good. I'm not going to knock that. But what I am saying, they're clearly showing in Toronto that Varland is still a leverage guy that will open the door for Hoffman to get plenty of chances, it feels like, going forward. And that really got me interested on him this week.
Yes. So I mentioned, I forget who it was, but I was looking for a closer, I think. The Grant Taylor conversation. Yeah. So in that one team where I had Grant Taylor in my bid list, I definitely had Jeff Hoffman. I think he was available as well. I didn't get Hoffman. I know that. So I pulled up the Blue Jays roster resource, and they show for the relievers when they last pitched and what the result was. So the 20th Wednesday was Varland got the save. Then Hoffman got the save on Thursday the 21st. Varland back on Friday the 22nd. And now Hoffman got the save on Saturday the 23rd. So 4 days in a row, and they alternated the 4 saves, which is kind of wild to see. But also, yeah, you mentioned how Varland's been so good. I believe, though, when they removed Hoffman from the role, they did say, the Blue Jays, that they wanted him back eventually, I think. So I wonder if this is how they're giving him those shots. Because going into the Thursday save, Varland had pitched Tuesday. He only threw six pitches, and then 24 on Wednesday. So 2 days in a row, it makes sense. And I guess Friday made 3 of 4 with 31 pitches in that save. So it makes sense also that they would give him days off, Varland, on that Thursday and Saturday. But Hoffman did pretty well. He had about half as many pitches in both saves as Varland did in his two saves. I don't know if that really matters, but it shows that he's definitely more efficient, Hoffman. And I'm sure the Blue Jays are smart enough to look at the underlying numbers that we look at for fantasy, and they could probably see how unlucky Hoffman has been this year. So I think Hoffman, where are the averages? He went for 30. Okay, the 30 on Hoffman, I feel like a lot better than the 27 on Taylor. And then he went for 41 Hoffman in the mains on average. I think that's probably all right, because it's only 11 more than the OCs. So I think there's a shot that he would potentially get it back, the closer role soon, Hoffman. His numbers are unbelievable. He's a 30% K-minus walk, Hoffman. 473 BABIP against. So this definitely makes sense as a spec, especially if you have, say, 1.5 closers. Say you have a solid RP1, and then you have someone like on the Nationals right now, or maybe Yates is your RP2. Adding Hoffman, I think, is a great idea, just to see if he can take it back over, because the Blue Jays will probably get better too. And then with the K numbers that Hoffman has, he could be a pretty good closer second half of the year.
Yep, full agree. That's why I was very interested in him. Got a few shares back this week. So I like what we're seeing from Hoffman, like what we're seeing from the Jays using him. And just to reference for people, the Closer Monkey tweet I was talking about, it was tweeted out on Monday. He has there's a really pitcher saves chart, and there's a solds chart. The solds I like to look at a lot too, if you're trying to speculate on things. But just over the last 2 weeks, Cade Smith has 7 saves. He's just been ridiculous. The next one's Chapman, Mason Miller, Duran, Baker, Seawald each have 4. Lovelady, we'll talk about him later, has 3 saves. Brian King has 3. And it's just a slew of 2s. Taylor Rogers, Brian Abreu, Raisel Iglesias, Munoz, Patrick. Go on and so forth. It's crazy. Just what made me laugh is, so guys with 2 saves, Ben, that's, you're averaging 1 save a week from one of your closers.
That's, and they all weren't even closers, really. No, I didn't see that tweet. It was awful.
Yeah, that's why I saw that. I'm like, I got to bring something. Like, it's just crazy to look at the situation there. And then people that clamor for a saves hold league, in reality, there's not that many more saves holds guys on the other. Like, it's nothing special. No one's got more than Cade Smith 7 still. Like, it's still, you got to have the elite guys no matter what.
I think holds are so dumb, because it's just like you might as well get rid of the entire reliever stat at that point. I think it feels like such a irrelevant thing because of how lenient they are with giving out a hold.
That's where I'm at. Like, a guy can come in and get 1 out in the 6th. Like, that's garbage. Like, there's got to be, like, at least the 7th inning. You at least need to get, like, 2 or 3 outs. Like, there's got to be, like, some rules involved to this. Like, basically, you have to get a save in an inning is the way I look at it. But, yeah, that's a whole other discussion for a whole other day. All right, the next most added player will stay in the closing landscape here, I guess. Kirby Yates was picked up at 102 online championships, as high as 121, as low as $1, average of 21. 75th percentile 27, so definitely outliers there. Kirby Yates was added in 20 main events, as high as 128, as low as 13, average of 51, 75th percentile 65, so outliers there as well. Kirby Yates, it's been ugly watching him, but in reality, he's only allowed 3 runs, 2 outings out of all of his, like, 2, 4, 6, 7 outings. He's 5 scoreless of those. 9 strikeouts to 3 walks and 6 1/3. Like, it's been much better than I thought it was. Still not great, by any means. Not going to glorify Kirby Yates. But more importantly, because I think they're playing the A's last week, so they're on a lot of late night games here for me. Every save situation, they brought in Kirby Yates, where prior to him, it was like a slew of a bunch of different options. That was the only reason why I was putting bids in on Kirby Yates this week, is he might actually have the role for the time being, just like Jordan Romano did. When it blows up, you move on, but saves are that important right now.
Yeah, I don't think he was available where I needed those closers, Yates. And I definitely was looking to drop Zephyr John where I did have him, because I think of what Yates has done there. And if you look at Roster Resource, they have a committee with Yates, Sam Backman, and Zephyr John. I think it's probably more likely Yates. We mentioned Closer Monkey, which is also Reliever Recon. They have Yates as the primary share holder in that Angels bullpen. And on the year, he has a 4.26 ERA, but a 1.11 WHIP. Only 6 1/3 innings, so extremely small sample size. Angels aren't very good, but I definitely would have preferred Yates, I think, over Hoffman and Taylor. And he went for on average for less. Maybe it's more team context. At least Yates went for less in the OCs. In the mains, he averaged more than Taylor and Hoffman, 51 there. So that makes sense in the 15s. That's kind of where my mind's at as well. So that's good to see that I'm in line with the other main event players. So if I needed Yates in a team and he was available, I would have gone for him. It didn't really line up for me anywhere, so I didn't get him. But just not the most optimistic, not the best outlook for save opportunities because of how bad the Angels are. And it's like even with Zephyr John, he didn't really do anything horribly, I don't believe, but he had like that one save chance, and that's been it really in like the last 2 weeks. So I don't know how often Yates will get his.
Yeah, I was about to say, to be fair, Yates might not get a lot either. Before you said that, so that was my same thought. The Angels are a bad baseball team. So and their bullpen's horrific at the same time. For those watching live, the Astros just combined for a no-hitter. Emi went like sixth, and the bullpen held on to the rest. So if like you believe in that combined stuff either, which is kind of an asterisk to me, but
I don't know why they're celebrating like that. I don't know, like it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, yeah, it's cool, but let's be real at the same time. All right, enough of me being a grumpy old man. Miguel Andujar. This was an OC only thing, Ben, because he was not available in 15s, as he shouldn't have been. But people have woke up, and also a slow week, that Miguel Andujar was added in 98 online championships, as high as 41, as low as a dollar, average of $10 for Miguel Andujar. I wrote him up in the Fab column this past week on the Patreon. After Monday night, he went one for three on Monday night. Andujar's hitting .281 with 5 home runs, a steal, 17 runs, and 17 RBIs. He is being productive once again, Ben. He hit .318 last year in 94 games with 10 homers. Like it's almost like the Ramon Laureano thing. Just give him at-bats, and he's producing. Much more so in 15s, as we talked about. But, yeah, pretty interesting stuff, and I'm glad to see some people woke up to it. I still feel he's more of a 15-team week play, but what are your thoughts on Miguel Andujar?
I agree with you on that, Bubba. I think he's definitely more of a 15-team play. I think Sacramento's definitely helping him.
No, he's on San.
I did that last time before too. God.
Yeah. If he's out.
Damn, it's always one of your co-hosts always getting the teams wrong.
That's what I'm here for.
So he's been hitting second for the Padres, Andujar, and I pulled up his Baseball Savant. Really, the only thing. So he doesn't even have Sacramento to help him out. So that's another. Deflate my argument for him, I guess, a little bit. The only good sliders that Andujar has on Savant are his XBA, WHIF, and K percentages. Power is below average. So he's kind of to your point, he's just really an average helper. Doesn't steal. He only has that one steal. And he's kind of accumulating batting second for them, which is definitely valuable, but it definitely plays more in a 15-team league. And I think because he had the three homers combined in weeks 8 and 9, that's why Andujar was kind of sought after. I think he doesn't. So for end of, I don't look at projections in season really ever, but just for him, for his sake, he projects for 8 homers the rest of the year. That seems a little underwhelming, especially in a 12. So I think he could be dropped eventually. I don't know if his averages is going to. He might. I don't think he's going to go into slump necessarily because of the good K rate and the high XBA that he's kind of earned so far. But if whoever added Andujar this week kind of sees the power just dries up, I wouldn't be surprised, and they would probably drop him in 12s eventually. But maybe basically it. So in a 7-game week, he makes a lot of sense. But I don't know if they had it this week necessarily. They had 3-3. Plus they faced Lizardo and Sanchez to start the week, so not the best matchups either.
Yeah, I benched a lot of my Padres guys this week. Like, because of the matchups in play, and we'll get into a lot of maybe more discussion on that as we get to add drops and why I'm kind of doing a lot of churning and burning and utilizing bench and split weeks and trying to maximize what I can the best I can, and I'm not always the best at it, but that's what my Padres were. Like, I'm not – guys can get lucky, but if I see Lizardo and Sanchez in 2 out of 3 starts, you're probably not going to be in the first half of the week. As long as you're like the elites, I guess just reality of the situation there. So yeah, we'll We'll see where Andujar goes. I think he is a very good batting average asset. That should happen the rest of the year. I'm not going to be surprised by that. The power sketchy. I probably wouldn't be willing to roster him again until a Coors Field situation takes place, but time will tell on that one. All right, we don't have to go too deep on this next one unless you want to, but this is just a kind of circumstantial. Caratini, Victor Caratini, added a 95 OC, size 57, which is insane. As low as a dollar, average of 7, 75th percentile, 9. That all checks out for me. Caratini was added in 32 main events, as high as 33, as low as a buck, average of 15. Even the 33 is fine with me. That 57 in the OCs is bonkers. Caratini hasn't been good. He's got like one hit, which was a home run since Jeffers got hurt. Caratini's hitting 185 with two home runs. He was really good the last couple of years. He just can't find it at all right now, Ben, but we are living in a world where we just need catchers.
Yeah, it's just the Jeffers replacement. Don't really have much to add. He's been really bad this year, like you said, but I don't know. How do the catchers look on this list? Have there been a lot, really? There's
Susak, Caratini, as I scroll.
Ruiz was down there, blowing 65. Yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised there weren't more catchers near the top of OCs, but it is a shallower format, whereas in the mains, it's stretched extremely thin. So maybe that's why, I don't know. Or people just asleep on Memorial Day. But I don't think Caratini should have been one of the most added catchers. He definitely emerged as the top option, of probably playing time-wise, because of Jeffers being hurt. But you definitely need some skills to go with it. And maybe with the full-time playing time, Caratini bounces back to what he did the last 2 years. But I don't know. I wouldn't really bank on that.
Yep. No, I'm with you. Like I could see the appeal, but I guess we could go over this now instead of later. I know you were discussing it. You might have even discussed it on the show last week, or maybe it's just in all our other discussions that we have, that you were like looking at the catcher's pool, and as bleak as it is, and it was like, and we joked about it, Ryan and I did on Thursday night's Fab show, like, here's your, you know, 10 guys to pick from. You kept saying, I might just take a zero from Goose and sit with that until, like, Caratini almost feels like he's that line. That's how bad it is. Like, I like Kyber Ruiz. We might get to him, but he was less available. Susak I liked. Christian Vasquez was not as available, but I liked him. There was a couple guys that I was like, okay, cool, take your chances. But it was after like three, maybe four, it was so bleak that I could see the Goose comment that you made.
Yeah, well, let's look at Caratini as an example, because he's been splitting time with Jeffers, and he's kind of been DHing, I think, a little bit here and there. But since week five, he had one RBI, no runs, then two RBIs, one run. This is all no homers. Then week seven, he had nothing. Week eight, he had just two RBIs. And then week nine, he had two runs, a homer, two RBIs. But in all those 5 weeks, he was 182 average or below. So I don't know if one or two runs and RBIs per week is worth an average. You're just like bringing on a 1-for-13 or a 2-for-15 or whatever each week potentially from him. And I just don't think those very few runs and RBIs per week are worth the average hit that you would take. So that's why I ended up getting, we'll talk about the ads afterwards for ourselves, but I ended up getting a catcher for Infant J-Rod. But at one point I had bids of non-catchers at the end of that string in case I didn't get any of the catchers that I kind of wanted. And I would have just, like you said, I would have played the Goose in my catcher two spot for a week and then not hurt my average, but didn't go that way, but I was strongly considering it.
Yeah. Okay. That's why I just wanted to bring that up for people out there thinking they need to, you don't actually, it hurts you more than it does. Well, all right. The next most added player in the online championships. And this one, I wrote him up as well, and it felt like he was kind of going under the radar, but watching enough Giants games, Harrison Bader is at least hot at the moment. I think you've watched him plenty when it's time with the Mets and other places that I know you're a Yankees fan, but East Coast. Just throwing out
he was there for one time, though. He was there for a year.
That's true. Yankees. That's true. Like, we know how streaky Harrison Bader can be, and he also gets hurt a lot, too. But Bader was added in 91 OCs, as high as 113, as low as a buck, average of 10, 75th percentile of 14. So, yeah, the 113 was nuts. 14 and below, totally cool with Bader as a stream in an OC. Added in two main events, as high as 63. The other one was 19. Obviously, I can do quick math here on two teams. But the reason I liked Harrison Bader, this was a very intriguing move to me, is it's rolling the hot hand is essentially what it comes down to with Harrison Bader. But he returned from the IL on May 11th, two weeks ago, and he's hitting 262 with four home runs and 10 RBIs. The average is what it is. Still, I'll take 262 right now. But the power's there. He had four doubles as well, so it wasn't just four home runs. Like, he was hitting the ball well, and I watched a lot of his games, and it's one of those, like, that's the weird thing. The Giants are so annoying, but, like, Adames is really starting to swing it well. Devers is swinging it well. Schmidt's been awesome. They, like, there's signs of life, but either they hit and the pitching sucks or they pitch well. This isn't a Giants podcast, but, like, it's just so frustrating. Like, you can see where this team could be good. They just can't do it at the same time ever, it feels like. But Harrison Bader, totally like this move, especially in a world where we talked Dylan Cruz earlier. We're going to talk a bunch of young outfielders. I felt like I'm kind of surprised Bader got this much attention. I'm glad he did. I think he fits into that streaming mode, like, full-heartedly. And he's not just, like, a weak stream. He's a guy that can be hot for, like, 3 weeks, and then he draw. Like, you might be able to play with Bader for a little while is my point.
Yeah, I definitely looked to add Bader right when he came off of the IL. One thing, though, is that his profile is starting to change. People tend to think of him as a steals first contributor.
Yeah, no.
In 2025, he had almost double his homers compared to steals. He had 17 homers, 11 steals. And then this year, Bader has 5 homers and no steals, 94 at bats, basically 100 plate appearances. And he's hitting 181. So he's not stealing at all this year. And his average is very bad. The K rate's a little elevated. I pulled up his Savant. Bader's sprint speed's only 60th percentile, which is, and then a lot of the sliders, so he doesn't qualify because of the injuries for the most of the sliders, but they're not very good. But he can get hot. And then I looked at the game log as well, and Bader hit one of those homers in week 8. So he had 3 homers in week 8. He had the homer last week, and this is why he's been added in the OCs. So 2 of the homers were in Sacramento. One was in LA, and LA is a good hit homer park. And then his one came this week versus the White Sox. So at least he's playing every day.
Yep.
But he has to start stealing, I think, to reach his value. And I don't know what's going on with him not stealing. It started happening last year, so it's not a Giants thing this year. It's just continuing the trend of him not running anymore. And he's never really been a good average contributor. So I think people kind of are just homer chasing with Bader, and they're not going to get those 4 homers he just hit. And granted, he's had a much better average the last 2 weeks. A lot of the damage happened in the first 3 weeks before he got hurt. But if you look at Bader's careers, he's been usually like in the 230, 250 range. He was 277 last year, so he was pretty good last year. But I don't know. He also has an extensive injury history, but it is an OC. I don't know. I just think I know he has the appeal of the steals, like I keep saying, but I don't know if they're going to be there anymore. He's 31, and people will stop running eventually. So I don't know if he fits the 12-team mold that well.
Yeah, he's just a stream at a 12. Like, a 15, he kind of sits around for a while, honestly.
Yeah.
But, I think just ride him while he's hot, or you could use him, you know, matchups biweekly. Like, kind of, doesn't have to be the whole week. See, like, they go on the road, see where that goes. There's a lot of ways you can use Harrison Bader while he's hot. Obviously, if you're looking for a guy to drop, he's probably close on that list as well. The next most added player is Gavin Sheets. I'm ignoring that. They have 4 lefties on the schedule this week. That is... The fact 89 people added him as high as 72, as low as a buck, is, I don't know the logic behind that. I'm not trying to be rude, but it makes no sense to me. Next most added player, though, we kind of talked about him a bit last week on the main event side. Shocker, Ben, don't we talk about that sometime, because it'll end up being more prominent down the road? Well, here you go, folks. Spencer Miles was picked up in 82 online championships, as high as 54, as low as a dollar. Average of 9, 75th percentile, 12. I like to mention that. People might wonder why. It shows that they're outliers. And so if you're, we get questions in the Discord like, what should we bid? And I always reference, like, hey, this guy was added this amount of times last week. Those kind of give me an idea of where I should go and where the outliers are, so on and so forth. So that's why I mentioned that. He was added in 23 main events, as high as 38, as low as 7, average of 21. Spencer Miles, since getting stretched out, is what I'll call it, because he's been used in the brand role over the last 2 outings. He's made 11 innings, no runs, 3 walks, 13 Ks, has looked very, very good, Ben. And to top it off, Spencer Miles is set to face the Marlins on Tuesday and at Baltimore on Sunday. So I was in the Spencer Miles sweepstakes this week. What were your thoughts on him?
Once I realized who he was, I definitely tried adding Miles wherever wherever he's available. And him appearing now definitely is because of the two-step week, like you just mentioned. His underlying numbers are pretty good. His XERA is 315, his FIPS 281, his XFIPS 306, the Sierra is 299. So he's definitely earned his good results so far. Still waiting for that. I think he doesn't actually have a start yet. He has one start, only went three innings. He's been piggy. Yeah, he's doing the brand role, like you said. And he could definitely stick, I think, because of now the Blue Jays, they just lost Dylan Cease. Unfortunately, we didn't mention that, we didn't go over any news, but that was one of the big IL hits today, with Cease going down. And God, their rotation is Savage, Miles, Gossman, Patrick Corbin. Is that Josh Fleming, who is projected to pitch on Thursday, it looks like, or that'd be Friday. Wow, that's a name I haven't seen in a while.
That is the
former Rays great. Yes. So I think Miles is here for a little bit, as long as he keeps doing well. And hopefully he ends up being Hodor, and that would be a lot more beneficial, maybe. A few more innings. I don't know if the win chance will change. He only has one win so far anyway as brand. But I think Miles is definitely someone who gets sick, more so than Kumar Rocker. I think the name is what flip-flopped their price. I think skills-wise, you have Miles ahead of you. I don't know if Miles should have gone for the money that Kumar did, but they definitely should have switched to some degree. So this is a big, I think it's a sneaky ad in the OCs for everybody, and especially if you have him in Miles in 15s as well.
Yep, I got him in a few places, so we'll talk about that shortly. I'm going to flip to the main event now, Ben. Just okay. Because some of the rookies, they highlight higher on the main event, so I'll make sure I don't miss them, essentially, on this side. So, flipping to the main event, the most added player in the main events. Now, this one, I have Texan with Mr. Dom Rello, who was heavily on the Jonah Tong ad additions this week, and then a few others, because I'll be honest, Ben, wasn't even paying attention to Jonah Tong. Like, we're talking Spencer Miles, and I told Dom that, I'm like, what did I miss? Can you enlighten me, sir, on what's going on? So we talked for a bit, and he enlightened me. Jonah Tong was added in 54 main events this past week, as high as 123, as low as $3, average of 32, 75th percentile of 36. He was added in 64 OCs, as high as 79, as low as a dollar, average of 20, 75th percentile, 29. Jonah Tong came in the brand rule this past week, 3 shutout innings, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. You know, the Mets are a little beat up, I'll put it nicely. At AAA, though, 9 starts, 5.68 ERA for Tong with an 18.5% K to walk. Not bad, but that's because he has a 14% walk rate. What were your thoughts on Jonah Tong? Because last year, man, we couldn't be more excited to add Jonah Tong. This year, like I said, I just completely didn't even put it 2 and 2 together.
Well, I kind of mentioned earlier, I've been running low on money, and I can't be spending too much. And where is Tong in the main event? Yeah, average of 32 isn't that bad, but I was like, I think I was at $8 for him, where I wanted a starter, and that was below the 25th percentile in the main events, which was $14. But I do remember from doing like the offseason research and prep for this upcoming year, Tong didn't really look too good last year. He hit an 8.6 swing strike rate in the majors for the Mets in 2025. And I remember, for some reason, it stuck out of my mind going into Fab that, okay, he didn't really get a lot of swing and miss last year. It's the Mets, they're horrible. Who knows how long he's going to be up for? And I think he only went 3 innings on top of it in his first start. Yeah, he went 3 innings, didn't even start. He was brand. So I just didn't want to go too aggressively. I know Mark Manoker, who's a Mets fan, didn't think he was worth adding Tong. And so that's kind of reassuring to hear Mark say that, because he's pretty in tune with the Mets. Yep. But at the same time, I did pull up the Mets roster resource. Manaea would be the other option on the active roster that would have replaced Tong. He's probably the piggyback partner for Tong, now that I think about it. And then the IL, Senga could be back, though. I think he's been pitching. So I think it could be short-lived where Tong gets kicked out for Senga when he gets back, and that would have me hesitant to bid too much. But the prices weren't that crazy. Main event average of 32 wasn't that bad, or whatever it was. It was 32. So I don't know. I would have put money probably elsewhere. I think, like I said, I only had him for $8, so it wasn't too interested.
Yeah, Senga made his first rehab appearance over the weekend. Didn't look too bad, but he's going to need a handful to come back from his lumbar injury. I guess, like, talking to Dom, you mentioned Mark on Waxman's podcast. They're both Mets guys, so they at least pay more attention. Like, I'm a dumb Giants fan. They're Mets fans. So at least you have kind of a feel on what's going on with your bad baseball teams. Their thought process was with Tong, and I don't disagree with this. It's just more of, would I do it, is the question. They're saying it's like they're stashing Tong now because they expect either Manaea goes, Senga doesn't come back, or they're saying like Peralta gets traded. Like, there's going to be an opening for Tong for the second half of the year. So I guess my next question to you, Ben, is we might not get to Blake Snell, who was widely rostered but also picked up on a lot of places. Blake Snell's expected back around the All-Star break. Jonah Tong would be, quote-unquote, if this all comes to fruition, in the rotation by the All-Star break. Who would you rather stash?
Between Snell and Tong?
Yes.
Blake Snell.
Okay, that was my question. That was the question.
I would wait to add them in until July, though.
Well, yeah, I didn't do that, but that
well, would Snell's a different story, though. Like, I think if you're adding Tong as a semi-stash, I wouldn't add him until July.
And that's where I was at. Like, I understood the thought process of when he's going to be an option. I was just more surprised at the excitement now is where I was at with Tong.
Yeah, unless you have no injuries, you kind of want a warm body.
Yeah, yeah. But then it comes to the question is, then it comes back like, should I get Grant Taylor or something like that to come in? It's just, hey, this is the game we play. There's a lot of ways to build your teams and play the game. So it's very, very interesting.
I mean, I'm not going to hate on the ads, no, but no. It's just, I don't know. It's not the path I would have taken. I don't think.
No, that's the thing. It's like, I understand the thought process. It's just, everyone does things differently. Like, I was talking with another player that is in the league with Mr. the robot himself, and you just watch the robot do ad drops and you wonder, like, he plays the game differently and he wins. But it's just crazy how he does things. All right. Esmerlin Valdez. We're talking rookie outfielders here for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Picked up in 49 main events, as high as 78, as low as $3. Average of 24, 75th percentile of 29. So pretty reasonably priced there. Esmerlin was picked up in 80 OCs, as high as 64, as low as $1. Average of 12, 75th of 16. So again, 75th percentile on both. Very, very serviceable. Valdez played all three games over the weekend. He got his first hit on Sunday, a home run against the Jays. He did the dreaded, everyone picked him up, and he sat on Monday. Love to see that when you add someone, Ben. That's always great. At AAA, Valdez hit .253 with 10 home runs, no steals. Big power bat. Saw him in F-Pass in the home run derby. Crazy power. He was a runner-up in the derby. Like, he's awesome power. Hit tool has up and down is the best way I'll put it. So what were your thoughts on Esmerlin Valdez this week?
Kind of like Tong. I think I had him in bids for like $8, so wasn't going to be too aggressive on him. I pulled up his minor league stats, and he has some good, has some decent power in the minor league career. He's, how old is he? He is 22, so pretty young still. He was hitting 26 homers in 2025 and high A and double A, so a lot of the work was in high A, so yet to see what Valdez could do against better competition. Actually, most of his minor league career has been in either A ball or rookie ball. Only has 51 games at double A, and then he had 46 games in triple A this year. 10 homers, .253 average. So kind of held his own, but I don't know. The Pirates have probably a much lower bar to clear to get called up. And looking at their roster resource, he's got to kick out Ozuna or Mangum, which neither one should be difficult to do. But to your point, Valdez he sat on Monday. They also called up just Nixon Garcia. Is that how you pronounce it? Just Nixon, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty close. They both played three or four games since getting called up. Actually, well, Garcia was up earlier. I don't know. This feels very crowded in Pittsburgh, so that's why I was interested, but only single-digit bids on Valdez. I just don't know how good he'll be, and which is always a question with rookies, of course. But I don't know. Just not the best situation potentially in Pittsburgh.
Yep, I was $9 to $11 pretty much on him. So full agree with you there. A couple more. Lucas Giolito picked up in 44 main events, as high as 75, as low as $1. Average of 25, 75th percentile of 35. Picked up in 40 OCs, as high as 75, as low as $1. Average of 21 with a 75th percentile of 32. Giolito's made two starts with the Padres. He's gone five innings in both starts. He's allowed 3 earned runs, 8 walks to 5 strikeouts. So the command is off the rocker when it comes to Giolito, and he gets at the kind of hot Washington Nationals this week. Where were you at on Lucas Giolito?
I want to say I had a bid in for him, and he was definitely low, though, because of those walks. The 8 walks and 10 innings definitely turned me away from wanting Giolito too aggressively, and I don't think even the underlying numbers last year, or whenever he last it was last year, I pull up his page, he was at a – yeah, he's not the same. He hasn't really turned the corner since his last good year in 2021, so – the walks are pretty bad. Also, he's throwing 90 miles per hour on average. He's at 93.3. I don't think I want to talk about this. So Giolito's fastball is 90.6.
Yeah, it's not good.
In the one spot in Fangraphs, it was 93.3 last 2 years. So less velocity, ton more walks. I am out.
Yeah, the walks and the velocity. Like, I was still putting really low bids in on him just to be like, hey, it's a pulse. Maybe he's, you know, knocking the rust off some more. Yeah, when I saw the velocity thing, I think I saw a tweet on it like late last week after his last start or something. I was like, oof, that is not like start one. Okay, start two. No, like we need to get this back on track. So see where it goes. And it's a very tough matchup against the Nationals later this week. Brian Torres, rookie outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals, picked up in 44 main events, as high as 44, as low as a buck, average of 15. He was picked up in 36 OCs, as high as 33, as low as a dollar. Average of 75th percentile is 9. Brian Torres had 3 hits in the first 2 games. A doubleheader on Saturday. Sunday was rained out. He had a home run along that stretch. And more importantly, at AAA, 336 average, 2 homers, 10 steals. This, out of all the rookies, this was the one I wanted the most.
Yeah, I think I was around the same price as Valdez that we just talked about. One thing with Torres, though, he is a almost 29-year-old rookie. So that has to be extremely skeptical of how good he will be. There was a little bit of a fill tax, but it didn't really show up in the dollar amounts because an average of 15 in the mains is still pretty low, even though he's one of the most added players, especially rookies. So I get taken the flyer, but I'm just skeptical because of how old he is. And if he was really that good, he would have been up by now, especially how bad the Cardinals are. So I don't know if it's going to really amount to anything.
That's totally fair. The age thing did surprise me when I looked at him over the week and going, hey, he's a, wait, what? Like, that's an old rookie, folks. It's like I remember when Whit Merrifield first came out. He's like, he's 29? Like, oh, shoot. Okay, gotcha. All right, a few more here.
Joey Meneses.
Yeah, that's another great one. That's a really good one because I know we all, at least I, was guilty of falling in love with that profile that lasted a whole year. Oldie, Paul Goldschmidt added in 39 main events, as high as 26, as low as a buck, average of 9 for Paul Goldschmidt. Goldie was also picked up in 10 OCs, as high as 16, as low as a buck, average of 5. Goldie's been playing really well. And most importantly, like, he's hitting 250 after tonight's game, 250, 5 home runs. That plays. But more importantly, as Ben will elaborate on here shortly, he's actually playing. And that's the most important part, because the DH is one Rice, baby, every single day. And that has left Goldschmidt has played 5 straight games at first base, all against right-handed pitching. Which it was only 4 before Sunday, Monday's game, obviously. That's all I needed to see to be like, okay, if I need a CI, Goldie's on the clock. And it's really weird because like 2-3 weeks ago, I added Arenado everywhere. I don't think I got a lot of Goldie, but the fact I'm bidding on these guys in the year 2026, a little strange.
It's like you're in a time capsule. Yeah, so really what happened with Goldschmidt is that Spencer Jones got sent down, cleared up a starting roster spot. And, yeah, you mentioned how Rice is now DHing. This is until Stan gets back, but I don't think he can even walk yet, or definitely can't run. Knowing Stan, it's going to be a while. Dominguez is all beat up. So unless Dominguez or Stan gets back, I think they also could do something where they, like, have Volpe at short, have Caballero move around the diamond, Rice plays first, and then one of the outfielders DHs. But I think they like Goldschmidt in the lineup right now, especially at first base, because Ben Rice isn't the worst at first base, but Goldschmidt is definitely like their best defensive first baseman. And I'm just going to pull up his splits, his being Goldschmidt, because I think – so actually he's doing much better versus lefties this year. Actually, not all season, 2026. Okay, so it could be a little bit of an issue because Goldschmidt has a 1183 OPS versus lefties this year, whereas it's 558 versus righties. So I don't know. he can't be that bad versus righties now. Also, he kind of turned into a platoon bat last year for the Yankees. But when he has a 5.58 OPS versus righties, and the last five games have been versus righties, it's not ideal. But I think he has a pretty good barrel rate still, from what I've heard, Goldschmidt, that is. And I haven't really had a need for a corner add, so I wasn't looking at Goldschmidt at all. But he, yeah, his savant is pretty good if he qualified. So for now, while he's playing, I think you kind of ride the hot hand and hope that he turns around versus righties.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. He's playing. It's half the battle to me right now, and I'd keep rolling with it while he's playing, to be totally honest. Again, a couple more here. Justin Foscue added in 38 main events, as high as 38, as low as a dollar. Average of 11 for Foscue in the mains. In the OCs, 37 leagues, high of 46, low as a buck. Average of 9, 75th percentile, 13. So a little high on part of it, but Foscue's hitting 298, two home runs. A guy that I've kind of been looking to get a call in recent years, but he always got banged up. So, again, he's an older rookie, to your point. But playing time's there, first base, second base, looks pretty good.
Yeah. Does he have both now? Is he a first and second?
First and second, yep.
Nice. Yeah, I had a very short bid list in one main for a second baseman or middle infielder, and Foscue's on that list. I didn't get him, but I was looking to add him. And with Seager and Josh Smith out in Texas, he's going to play a lot, it looks like. I don't think there's any real speed with Foscue, but you're hoping for some power and average. So he's definitely more of a 15-team play while he's playing, and good flexibility, like we said.
Yep, most definitely. Richie Palacios picked up in 37 main events, as high as 34, as low as a dollar, average of 12. He was picked up in 33 OCs, high of 26, low of 1, average of 8. Palacios, one thing is the Rays face a ton of righties this week, which bodes well for Richie Palacios. Johnny DeLuca also basically destroying his hamstring does well for Richie Palacios. And Richie Palacios went 2-for-6 on Monday evening. So he's now hitting 269 with a home run and 7 steals. What were your thoughts on Richie Palacios?
Well, I just mentioned that short bid list for middle infielder with Foscue, and Palacios was at the top of that list, and I ended up getting Palacios. Nice. I preferred him over Foscue because of the speed. Like you mentioned, he has 7 steals. It looks like he's playing second base for the Rays versus righty, so he's taking over the Brandon Lau role. I think the Ben Williamson injury kind of opened this up for him. And, he's not my sole middle infield option because of the platooning, but especially this week with a lot of righties and the Rays, he faces Bradish, Boz, Bassett, Urania, and Kahanowitz, so 5 out of 6. And there's a chance he probably pinch hits for the Detmer start on the weekend. So if you need speed and a little flexibility, because he's second base and outfield in NFBC, I think Palacios was a very solid add. And I got him relatively cheaply too, so that helps.
Yeah, it works just to look at weeks that the Rays get a bunch of righties, and Palacios should be in your streaming options. I'm not going to go deep on any of these, but if you want to, I'm just going to throw out a list of names. Guys, if you didn't add them this week, we'll probably talk about them next week. Jake Myers, Drew Anderson of Detroit was interesting. Blake Dunn of Cincinnati, Lauer, Kai-Wei Tang, Spencer Horwitz. Those are some of the other main names I think that I know were at least widely discussed in my circles and in my article, and were popular in mains, not so much in OCs just yet.
Yeah, I had bids in for Myers, kind of like Palacios, speed first. The Astros are a mess with their outfield, so I think, and he's a good fielder in center field, so I think Myers will play a lot more, definitely a 15 teamer. I could see him getting added in 12s maybe if he does really well. Will Anderson stick around though? Is that the question?
The Drew Anderson that you're talking about?
Yeah, he's in the Tigers,
yeah,
right?
He did an opener last week, and then he got the save to end the week. It was quite the so again, if it's like your Grant Taylor idea, Drew Anderson could end up being very good. It was a 2-inning save to top it off. So if you're looking for just, ratio strikeouts and the chance to sneak in a win or a save, I guess he's on the board.
Yeah,
I wasn't really interested, but like I could see the appeal.
He has really good numbers. At least lately. He actually hasn't pitched in 2021. That's kind of wild. I thought he's been around before
that. I think he was over in like Korea or let me find out for you. Let me pull up his page. Drew Anderson. Man, Fangraphs is working slow today. There we go.
I will say while you look that up, he has about a 4.5 walk per nine, which is not ideal.
He was in the MPB from 22 and 23, KBO 24 and 25, and just returned. So he was in Asia for 4 years.
Gotcha. All right, yeah, maybe. I don't think I looked at him anywhere. You actually sent me on to Blake Dunn in your Fab article. I didn't get him anywhere, but I think he's replaced TJ Friedel,
yes,
who I have been sitting in my 1DC where I have him. And I think he was also dropped in some mains, which is saying something. Blake Dunn is kind of like Jake Myers, actually. He has some speed. So I like that one. I don't know if we'll see him in 12s. Eric Lauer was someone I was looking to add because he's in the Dodgers. And then he had a pretty rough start to the year with the Blue Jays. I liked him last year, though, in the past. Actually, last year a lot. Helped me in a couple teams. And also he gets the Rockies tomorrow night, I believe, on Tuesday, which is on the road for the Rockies. So that's very ideal. I'm not sure how long Lauer will stick around. Let me look at they have
Glasnow rehab still. Like it's got time to make this work.
It's a product of Glasnow and Snell, right? Is that why he's up?
Well, yeah. And then Sheehan early in this game took a line drive off his shoulder. They left him out there, but he got like two runs right after that. So we'll see how long he's still pitching tonight for.
Yeah. So I guess River Ryan, he's like the prize jewel that everyone loves.
I'll let you okay, finish your sentence, and then I want to mention something on River Ryan.
Well, so actually looking at it, Lauer is part of a six-man, so he could be like a swingman if they want to go back to six-man rotation because it's Yamamoto, Sheehan,
Otani. They've been doing six for like a month. Like they've been pretty hardcore on the six-man.
Yeah, but Roster Resource has it as a five, but you look at RotoWire, and they have all six starting this week.
Yep.
So if he starts once a week, he's a good streamer in 15s, Lauer, like a bench streamer, as long as he sticks. And if he is bad, then maybe they do a call up Ryan or something. But I like Lauer as a dart. Horwitz did not look his way at all. I think that's the other name you mentioned.
Yeah, Horwitz. Yeah, the Pirates face seven righties this week, so
that'll do it
in that regard. But I just want to mention for people that are getting excited for River Ryan, he was picked up in five main events this week. We still don't have he has at least one more rehab start, if not two. And again, he got to move somebody out of the rotation. That's fine. It's doable probably, but picked up in five main events, as high as 51, as low as 15, average of 33. So if you're looking to spend money and he gets called up, go higher than the max, I would say, on that one. Just throwing that one out there to you. People are very excited for him. So if you are too, you have to spend up.
Very horny, right. Very excited.
Yeah, very excited. All right, Ben, let's talk about our ad drops from the week, if you are ready. You told me it's going to be a short list from you.
Definitely cheap list. Let me get to the right page. So I will start, as always, with the OC. I went to the wrong page. One second.
It's all good.
All right, so the Listener League. Speaking of the Dodgers, I added Roky Sasaki. Dropped J.R. Richie 34 to 28. So that was a pretty good bid. I added Dominic Canzone back. This is where I dropped Jose Altuve, 8-2. So I think Altuve is toast. Really, the only thing he's been doing is scoring runs and the oblique injury. He's old. So I was ready to cut ties. And then in the New Jersey main event, this is definitely where I had to spend cheap. I think you alluded to this guy earlier. I got Bryce Eldridge, dropped Lawrence Butler 24 to 11.
We will be talking Bryce, yes.
Yep. This guy, so I actually got him on two teams. I was mentioning the relievers I wanted. I got Clayton Beter, dropped Ryan Zephyrjohn, actually 12-0. So Beter has looked good in his two appearances coming off the IL, I believe. He had two Ks in each inning, only one walk, no hits allowed. I know you were a Gus Bus guy, Gus Varland, but I know they have been not using him solely as the closer, and I think Beter could potentially get his way into the save chances in Washington. So I figured at least try adding him versus having Zephyrjohn, who I think is losing out to Yates, which we discussed earlier. So I got him 12-0. I was surprised it was unopposed. And then the third ad here was kind of funny, but now that Henderson got hurt, I added Robert Gasser, dropped Matthew Liberatore 4-0, and then Gasser got sent down, I think, afterwards, of course. But he's like low on my list of ads, and I just want Liberatore off the team. A lot of case for Liberatore. I think he had 10 today, but I don't know. He's kind of a wreck, and If Henderson does go on the IL, which I hope isn't the case, maybe Gosser gets called back up. If not, he was a bench add anyway, so I'll just drop him next week. So that was it for the New Jersey main. And then the hybrid main, this is where I got Palacios. Richie Palacios dropped Hyesung Kim of the Dodgers, 14-7. And then this is ugly. I added Luis Torrens, dropped infant J-Rod, Jesus Rodriguez, 2-1. So at least Torrens plays a lot.
At least there was a backup bid there. God, that make you feel a little better.
It was a perfect bid, 2-1. At least his average has been above 200 Torrens, and he's getting 3 RBIs per week and 2 runs per week. So it's a lot better than those other guys we were talking about, like a Victor Caratini. And then third main final team got Clayton Beater, dropped Graham Ashcraft in this one, 12-4. So I got a runner up here. And that was ended up being the only ad there. So I think my other list I got shut out on, but that's all right.
Cool. All right. We'll have some discussions to be had here because with the Beater situation, I'm not opposed to it, but you'll see why in a minute. First, I'll start with my Vegas 12 teamer, but just for fun. Bubba Chandler was added in this league for $42. So that I didn't know what to bid on him, and I didn't because I didn't want him, but no one else did here. There's no runner up bid.
Do you have him anywhere still, Bubba?
No, I didn't have any shares to begin with. Okay. Everyone wanted him more than me in draft season, so never got that chance. But in the Vegas listener, I got Brian Torres, dropped Moises Ballesteros, 11-0. I'm just Ballesteros was a fun stream. It's over. Got Jeff Hoffman, dropped Graham Ashcraft, 11-1. Grabbed Kirby Yates, dropped Peter Lambert, 11-4. So got some bullpen potential reinforcements in this one. All right, my Vegas auction, the first of many, and the booms got the boom on this one, James Anthony. I got Bryce Eldridge, dropped Zach Cole, 22-22. He was the other 22. So got a text message on that immediately about 7:15 last night that I got him on that one. Got Eric Lauer, dropped Graham Ashcraft, 17-8. Again, we talk about a 15-team streamer. I'll take that Road Rocky start. And I've talked to you guys about it a lot. My pitching in that league is atrocious. So a guy like Lauer, I can potentially stream off my bench. I will take time and time again. Picked up David Hamilton, dropped Ezekiel Tovar. Finally got rid of that forever unclean, 11-6. Hamilton, the Brewers, I think it's 5 out of 6 games versus righties this week. Hamilton's hitting like 250-ish and running the 10 steals. Like, I'll take that right now over Tovar at this moment. And then this is the discussion we are going to probably have to have. First, just to give people context on the Bryce Eldridge thing, because I let it be known to a few people that I knew added him in previous weeks and then others, I was getting back in on Bryce Eldridge. And the reason was I figured you'd get him a lot cheaper than recent weeks. He also played 4 out of 5 games. If Casey Smith's going to play left field, then Bryce Eldridge should be playing a lot with Lee and Ramos on the IL. Bryce Eldridge hit safely in 3 of 4 games, multiple hits in 2 of them. Strikeout rate's 28% on the year now, so that doesn't sound great, but that's much better for Bryce Eldridge. And the barrel rate's only 4%, but it is a 59% hard hit rate, which is absolutely insane. So I watched a lot of his at-bats last week, and it looked like a much, much better player, and it's crazy what regular at-bats will do. So I was willing to take that chance in a small sample size to see where that continues. The other one, Richard Lovelady, drop Eric Fetty. I overspent, I get it, but 11-0. There was no backup bid. But where I was going with this one, like, I understand the Clayton Beater action. To me, Richard Lovelady is a Grant Taylor type, is the way I look at this. Lovelady picked up 2 saves. He's got 4 saves on the season. He's got 2 wins. He's got a 2.35 ERA. The strikeouts and walks aren't as ideal, but he's actually curbed those over the last few starts. He's the leverage man him and, I guess, Gus Varland. God, my eye is burning from sunscreen today. Sorry, I keep rubbing it on there. But Lovelady's been getting a ton of run. Like, he's been opening games. He's maybe the Drew Anderson's better comp for what Lovelady is. Could be totally done. Could be dropping him in a week. But that's where we're at on Mr. Lovelady. A few more here. We got my Olak. I picked up, God damn, Blake Snell, dropped Graham Ashcraft, 66-34. Spencer Miles, dropped J.R. Richie, 22-9. And, sorry, guys. And Eric Lauer, dropped Rico Garcia, 14-0. Brian Torres 11-0. Wade Meckler, Jorge Soler 8-0. Meckler's getting all the at bats versus right-handed pitching. I like that quite a bit. And I'm going to stop there, Ben, because I cannot look at the screen at the moment. But yeah, a lot of Torres, a lot of Eldridge, a lot of Spencer Miles this week for me. That was kind of a common trend these days. All right, some listener questions so I can get you to talk a bit. Aaron Gifts, do you ever consider how much fab budget goes toward pitching and hitting over the course of the season, or is it more team dependent?
No, I do not plan my fab spending by hitter or pitcher. It depends on what my teams need.
Yes, no, I'm with you 100%. I don't plan any of that whatsoever. Does not factor into it at all. John Wilder says, which is more of an accomplishment, leading the main event overall in May or leading the Bubba and the Bloom Listener League overall? No need to answer. We know it's the Listener Leagues. Good stuff there. Yep.
Good job, John.
What is the meaning of life, Bubba? Well, I'll tell you someday whenever I figure it out. Mailman Mike wants to know, curious if Ben Tidd would talk about his approach in an overall as a standalone, or overall versus a standalone league. It is okay if he doesn't want to give away his secrets. I know we discussed a lot of this in the preseason, but any kind of, like, I guess, cliff notes on this one?
I think it's really how you want to target certain categories and positions is really what it comes down to. That's the difference for me is in an overall, I'm much more willing to not spend up on saves. For example, my team that has been in and out of first place overall this year has Riley O'Brien, Sir Anthony Dominguez, and Lucas Erceg. All three were drafted and they were all relatively late compared to other closers. So it's working now. Who knows if it's going to work eventually? But we'll have to wait and see what happens at the end of the year. But that's a way to get an advantage because in the overall, you're trying to beat now in the main event 899 other teams. So by doing, you need a lot of runs, RBIs, strikeouts, homers, steals, good average. And a closer is only going to help you really in saves. So I think this putting that off to later in the draft is the best way to go about it. People are uncomfortable doing that, but I'm not. So I don't know if that's an edge on my part. It doesn't always work for me, but I think it's a good way of a good way to attack the overall. And then conversely, in a standalone, you probably want to go after the top catchers more often, and also the top closers because you're just worried about your other 14 or 11 or 9 competitors, however big your league is. And if you're taking away the best closer, it's going to help you probably also lineups. I guess roster size matters as well too. Like if you're playing a Yahoo league, one catcher, you kind of want the best catcher or top catchers because it's a bigger percentage of your lineup. So it's kind of playing with those scarce resources. It's kind of how I like to change up the strategy.
Yeah, as I say, in standalones, you can also, if worse comes to worse, or even in season, you can decide to punt a category and still survive. So it's not as we talk like in the overalls, you need to be balanced with a ton of ceiling at times. Like you definitely need to be balanced, though. You can't just like give up on anything. Where standalones, you can kind of play the game a little differently.
Yeah.
Adam W. says, at what point do you start strategizing for individual categories?
I have not yet. I have it in the back of my mind, but I will start planning or more targeting it in Fab. Well, it's not true. So in my one main event, the one that's like in the top 100, it's the third one I talk about. I was low in steals. I went heavy after Henry Bolte and AJ Ewing because I knew I needed to make up ground. Mainly, part of that was because I had Jackson Churio and Jeremy Pena, two guys I was expecting 20 plus steals from. They were both hurt throughout the year. So I was hurting my steals total, but I knew I needed to kind of get a higher rate going. So I guess it depends on how behind you are and where the rest of your team is. But I think more into the middle of the summer is when I would normally start kind of targeting categories more. But just being aware early, I think, kind of helps too. Because at a certain point, you can't catch up, though. It's just not really possible. So you don't want to wait too long, but if you're in a close race for points, I think mid to late summer is when you start doing that.
Yeah, I'm getting close to starting to care. Like I used to wait till like the All-Star break, but that seems too far away from me these days. I guess it also depends. Like if you're way down, like start looking now where you can start pouncing on things. And
if you're last now, I think it matters more.
Yeah, true.
Last in a category, for example.
That's the biggest thing. Like take a look at it, and so then when you're making your fab pickups, and we're like, you know, there's the four outfielders you're picking from. Well, if you need steals, then this guy should go ahead of it. Like Esmer Valdez shouldn't even be on your list, type stuff like that. Like, don't spend money on these guys that don't get steals, just as an example, if you need steals that badly. Like, you're just totally wasting your time. And that's why I kind of made the joke about Phil does things differently. Like, we're talking like Phil Dusso, phenomenal player, one of the best in recent years. He dropped Luis Arraez last week because he didn't need any batting average help. His team needed power so badly. Like, no one really ever would consider that, probably. Phil just does it. And that's my point, is like, don't add certain guys because of X, Y, and Z. Don't just hold on to guys because they're good, but they're actually not helping your team at the same time, too. Like, there's lots of ways to go in and out of that. And keep in mind as the season keeps winding on. We're getting closer to the halfway point than it seems like. It's pretty wild. SMMS79 says, did you find the Ben Rice jersey, Ben?
No, but there was plenty of Volpes, which was wild to see. So I will have to order a Ben one off online, that is. So.
Well, and after Volpe's game-winning single today, there's probably going to be even more. So you better be ready.
What's the saying? A blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
A broken clock's right twice a day.
Yes.
Dr. Doom, how long of a pull would you need before you touched Kirby Yates? About a $12 to $16 pull.
Yeah, it's shorter than you would be, than I think you'd be surprised to hear. So yeah. I like the length in dollars. I think that's a good way of describing it.
Yep. And then Adam Brunch says, Andrew Painter was dropped in my OC this week. Kato Walker seems just kind of weak. Bet on the come. $100 plus bid, ? He had a really good start on Sunday. I think he's been a hot garbage, but maybe I'm wrong. What are your thoughts on Andrew Painter?
All right. Underlying numbers are not too great last 3 weeks. I think last week he was available in one of my leagues, and I looked to add Painter, and let me pull him up. He is almost full, universally rostered. Yeah, the keys aren't really there. He started to look better. If it's an OC, I would go 20, no more than $30. And I think that's even pushing it. I think he's less than that.
Yeah, I think he's almost in that. Maybe he is. Maybe it's not almost, like he's in that Nola Flaherty.
Also, it's an OC pause. Though too. So I'm thinking of a mate. I'm thinking of 15 pricing. Yeah, he's probably like a single digit bid, most likely.
Yeah, somebody will spend too much money on him for the name value. I would not.
Yeah, the skills aren't there to back it up.
Yeah. And then in the chat here, Joe G says, I lost Moniak, so I have a spot to add in a 12-team mixed daily roto. Available is Vaughn, JJ Bladé, who did it again today. Vinny P is on the wire, shockingly. Austin Martin, Antonacci. What are your thoughts, Ben? I don't mind any of them, but where would you go in a 12-team mixed daily roto?
Well, Vinny P stands out because he is not an outfielder like everybody else in that list. Well, Vaughn isn't either, I guess. So assuming you don't need an outfielder, I would have it Vinny P first. If you're losing Moniak, you probably need Bladé's profile. So Vinny P, Bladé, Antonacci, and Martin are closed for third, and then Vaughn would be last.
Yeah, full agree. It's Vinny P, Bladé from me right out the gate. Bladé, it's a great comp. Bladé basically is Moniak, and he gets a great ballpark to hit into for home. Austin Martin and Antonacci, not a ton of power, but a ton of average. Hopefully steal some bags for you. Andrew Vaughn's playing well right now, but he is sitting more than you'd like, probably in the wrong matchup. So, yeah, I'm with you. It'd be Vinny P and Bladé for sure at the top. All right, Ben, final thoughts before we wrap up tonight's episode.
Getting hit by the injury bug now. I'm not liking it, but just got to push through, and hopefully that's it. No more injuries, please, for anyone.
Yeah, the last week or two has been a little rougher on the old the standings for me, but we'll continue to rock on. Like I said, long ways to go. That's what we churn, we burn, and see if we can strike gold once again. And hi ho to Bolte. So hopefully you get something done tonight to keep the good times rolling. But until next week, make sure you follow Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. I am at @BDIntric. This was your Week 10 Fab Recap. Bench with Bubba, episode 855. Catch you all next time.